invite you to turn to the book of Song of Solomon and to chapter 2. And really our thinking will be just this one lovely text tonight, so known and well known and loved. Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 4. Here's our text. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Well, there's many words and verses in the Word of God that stick in the mind. Some of them pierce the mind and the heart. They're like arrows, they convict us. But this verse is a verse that constrains us. It's a verse that constrains us with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. It really is the gospel in miniature. There are many verses in the Bible which give us the whole summary in just a few words. This is one of those. It really is a verse of testimony. This is somebody speaking, we'll explain who, and this is what they say. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Can you say that tonight? Is that a sentence that conveys what Jesus Christ has done for your never dying soul? Not something you've done for yourself, that cannot be, but something that Christ has done for your soul. Could this be your testimony? Could you say to somebody that you've never met before, He, Christ, brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. If you're a Christian tonight, whether you've been baptized or not, if this is true of your experience of what Christ has done for your soul, this verse you can say, and it speaks of what Christ has done for your soul. It's not about what I've done. It doesn't mention anything about what I've done. It's all about Christ. It's not about some discovery you've made. I worked it out. I came up with the mathematical formula. I solved the equation. No. This is about what Christ has done. It's what Christ has done for me. Without his intervention, if he hadn't brought me, if he hadn't placed me under his banner, I'd be where I was, lost, outside of the love of Christ, outside of the safety of his great banqueting hall in his palace. I'd be outside, not inside. I would be unloved rather than being loved. It contains, obviously, two different but beautifully complementary illustrations, and we shall look at them. The Song of Solomon is a love song. It's a love song between a king, King Solomon, in human form, and his bride. King Solomon writes about the Shulamite. And there is great love and affection between the two of them. There's also a third actor in this short book. It's there in verse 7. It speaks about the daughters of Jerusalem. So there's the king and there's his bride. The king comes and seeks his bride. And he finds her. And he swoops her off his feet, off her feet. And there are those who are witnesses, and they watch and see. And the bride, once she's been rescued, has such love for the king. You can see what this is about. It's beautiful, poetic language. There's hundreds of illustrations here. But it's about Christ and individuals. One by one, we have marriages here tonight. Some of you have been married for many, many years. Some of you were married. But once there was a time, I trust, where the man set his affections and his love upon his bride-to-be. Maybe it was with the ear. I hope it wasn't just with the eye. But there was something about his bride that drew him. But you know that's not true of us. There was nothing about me that made me attractive to Christ. In fact, it was the opposite. There was everything to put him off, to push him away. There was nothing good about me or attractive about me that Christ should lay his love upon me. But this is figurative speech. The king comes to his bride. The Song of Solomon could also be called the best song. That's another translation of the name of the book. The song that's above all others. C.H. Spurgeon said of this book, he said there's many wonderful books in the Bible. He loves the Gospels for the clarity they bring of the message of salvation and the death of Christ. He loves this book for this reason and that book for another. But the Song of Solomon is unique. If he could have one book on his deathbed, it would have been the Song of Solomon. Because for closeness and intimacy about Christ and those he's saved, Christ and his Savior, Song of Solomon surpasses all other books in the Bible. Because it speaks of a relationship. Tonight you have to ask yourself this question. Just one question. Do you know this relationship? Do you know Christ? Can you say, this is my experience. He brought me to his banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. You see, it's a personal relationship. He doesn't bring groups. He doesn't bring couples. He doesn't wait for the husband to be converted before he puts his love upon the wife. No, we come individually, one at a time, when he sets his love upon us. And that love is irresistible. Just like in a good marriage. The desire draws. There's something that draws us to him, and with the Lord Jesus Christ, we call it irresistible grace. He puts his eyes upon us, and we see him, we desire him, and he's all that we ever wanted, all that we ever needed, and we go to him. It's personal, a personal relationship, and it's also reciprocal. He puts his love upon me, and then I put my love upon him. Because he first loved me, so I put my love and affection upon him. Well, this is about a relationship. We speak about marriage as not two, but one, walking together. And they have to be in agreement. It says in the little book of Amos, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? And this is about a relationship of agreement. The husband and the wife, Christ and the sinner, coming together. They said of Noah, he walked with God. They said of Enoch, he walked with God. They knew each other. There was a relationship. It was a relationship of familiarity. They desired to know each other more and more and more. And so let's notice three things just as we begin. And then we look at the two pictures briefly. Notice this is definite. Read the verse again. He brought me. Not, he might. He tried. He brought me part of the way. He brought me. It's a statement. It's definite. There's no qualms, no doubts. The person speaking has absolute assurance. He brought me. I don't like to use too personal illustrations, but we were with a lady this week who lived 95 years. And she was in the final few days of her life. And we spoke to her. And we said, "Do you love the Lord?" And she said, "Yes. I love him. I know him." It was personal. She had walked with him for 70 plus years. And she could say in the final hours of her life, "I love him." There's something definite. He brought me. That's the testimony. It's definite. And the verse speaks of something historic. It happened in the past. Notice the tense. He brought me. Not he's bringing me. He brought me. It's happened. I'm inside. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was, and it is, and it ever shall be, love. And notice finally how personal it is. He brought me, and his banner over me. Not over my husband and wife. I trust that might be the case, but it might not be. We don't have to wait. We come individually when he calls us. Let's look at these two illustrations just briefly, and we can expand upon them. They're really allegories. The Lord Jesus Christ uses one of them in his parables, I'm sure. A banqueting house, it means a house of wine. It's not the vineyard. It's not the place where the grapes are pressed, but it's where the wine is drunk. There's no drunkenness there. Oh no, this is a place where there's great joy and satisfaction and pleasure, and the person has all their senses and wits about them. He brought me to the banqueting house. We can see it as a sort of grand hall, a palatial home. Look at chapter 5 and verse 1. Here's some other words that describe. I'm come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I've gathered my myrrh with my spice. I've eaten my honeycomb with honey. I've drunk my wine with milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly. Oh, beloved, the picture is of somebody that's been brought to a place where there's going to be a banquet. Many, many people have been invited. The chairs are set. You can imagine at Windsor Castle, that long room, an enormous table. It's all been set. Everything is ready. Let's think about what happens. The invitations go out. When the queen has a great big banquet, she invites the ambassador from Nigeria, the ambassador from India, and they get a personal invitation to come. They wouldn't dare refuse the invitation. But this is not invitations to nobility. These are invitations to beggars. This one, he invites people that don't have any merit, don't have any position, don't have any station, and he invites them, and the people come willingly. He brought me to the banqueting house. The beggars are invited. That's me, that's you. The invitation is personal. It's not transferable. It's got your name on it. Don't try and give it to anyone else. It's for you. He brought me. And you know, he even gives you the clothing that you'll need. When you get there, so you're not ashamed, he clothes you in his perfect righteousness. That's Christ's life. Every hour, every minute, every day that he lived was perfect. So that you and me, who are not perfect, could have his perfection in all its entirety. And when this banquet begins, it's a feast of fat things. There's milk, there's honeycomb, there's water that never runs out, and there's meat like we've never tasted before. A feast of fat things, the Bible calls it. And there's everlasting waters, and there's endless entertainment, and it's not sordid entertainment. No, it gives endless pleasure with no sting in the tail, no hangover, no headache. Oh, this is the banqueting house, and this feast, it never ends. He brought me to the banqueting house, and I never have to leave it. Because this speaks of being with Christ, in his presence, in life and in all eternity, because he's brought me to his banqueting house. And you know the blessings that he gives us? When we're there, he gives us pardon, he gives us peace, he gives us enduring peace, he gives grace and mercy. Beggars. Eating from his table. Not crumbs, what we deserve, but the never-ending feast. And we're clothed in him. And we can see him. And we go to be with him in heaven, and we have life more abundant. Oh, this is the first picture. Let's look briefly at the second. My time is going. The banner. Oh, this is another lovely picture. We can look at this in so many different ways. The banner is a sign. It's a standard. The picture is of those going into battle, and they are under the flag, the banner, the standard of Christ. But the one that fights, he doesn't fight with force. He comes with love. Just like Solomon, wooing the one that he puts his love over. This standard, this flag we've seen in this horrible war, a sign, not the swastika, but a Z, demarking the banner, a banner of destruction, a banner of evil. But the banner of Christ is love. And everyone that comes under his banner will be constrained, compelled. His love covers us. And we feel our sin. And we see the love of Christ for us. This is the standard that we're under. And when we come to him, we're on his side. We don't need to fight anymore. This banner speaks of victory. The banner goes up, the standard, and everyone underneath it. They come under the conquest that Christ has already achieved at Calvary when he's defeated all the enemies that we read about in Psalm 18. Every enemy has been conquered. Deliverance from Satan, sin, sorrow, death. That's the banner that we're under. And all who are under that banner, they stand with him. They're now on his side. It's a personal banner. The banner over me. Every Christian, do you know what's written over your life? Is love. Love. Undeserved love. Kindness and favor. The love of Christ for me. And it's a love of protection. When that flag goes up, Normally, in times of war, when the white flag goes up, there's no fighting. We've seen in recent weeks children in hospitals and schools that should have protection, and they should know the protection of the banner. But when you're under Christ's banner, none can touch the apple of the eye of the Lord Jesus. Verse 3, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. But the banner is even better than the apple tree. The banner of love, oh, it speaks of the cross. Christ, with his arms outstretched wide, it's like a big label, a big sign under the cross, not a cross in a church, not some superstition, not a necklace, not a crossing of the person, but under Christ and his life and his blood and his love for you and for me, if we will only come to him. Well, I have to ask you that question tonight as we close. Where are you? Are you in that banqueting house? Are you enjoying all the pleasures that he gives for life and for eternity? Are you eating from his table? Are you drinking his wine? Are you knowing his presence, his entertainment, his joy? What about the banner? Are you on his side? Are you covered with his love? Are you protected from the day of judgment by his love? Can you say these words in your heart tonight? He brought me to the banqueting house, to heaven. Heaven on earth and heaven in heaven. And his banner over me, it was, it is, and it ever will be. Love, it's a testimony. It's what's real. This is the experience individually. There was I, at home, in the world, in my sin, outside of Christ, outside of heaven. And the invitation came. And he brought me. He sent his chauffeur to me. We thought of it this morning. What's his chauffeur? The guilt of my sin that leads me, drives me to the cross to make me see my need. And as soon as I feel my sin and know that conviction, his banner over me was love. And there at the cross, the ultimate banner of love, my guilt was taken away. My sin was washed. And forevermore I can say, his sign, his standard, his flag was over my life. I was safe. He'd wooed me. He'd won my love. He'd brought me. And he'd put his love upon me. And no one can ever take it away. Can you say that tonight? Is there someone here that you don't know where you stand? Am I inside or outside? Am I loved by Christ? Have I responded to that invitation? Or is it still there waiting? I've never gone to him in prayer. I've never got on my knees and said, yes, Lord, I come, I come, I come now. I want to be under thy love. I want to be in thy presence. I want to walk as Noah and Enoch did. I want to walk with my God and please him. And his banner over you will be love. Oh, turn to him tonight. Isn't this verse for you? Is this your verse tonight? As never before, let's pray together. Our gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, with such tenderness, We feel the love of Christ. This is what he's done for many of us here tonight. And we pray that if there is anyone here who does not yet know that banner of love and that banquet and feast that never ends, O Lord, draw them. Draw them to him tonight with thy love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.